Well, it is Super Bowl Sunday, so lots to like, maybe a little bit to unlike about it too, but comes every year, and you get to choose a team and pick a team and root for them, and I know there's some Eagles fans here, so I said I would root for the Chiefs. That's your best chance of winning, is me rooting for one of the teams, so. Oh, but it's also Valentine's Day this week, and celebrate love, and sometimes we need to ask, what is love? And I know there's all kinds of biblical versions of love and words for different kinds of love, and, you know, and we use love a lot when we say things. We love God, you know, we love country, we love people, you know, especially our spouses and kids and grandkids. But like today, we love football. You know, we live for football. We love football. Love the Super Bowl. Maybe sometimes more than that, the food that comes with the Super Bowl. You know, the chips and salsa and cheese and wings and all that kind of stuff. So we love food. We love, you know, sometimes we love our animals. You know, we love our pets. Sometimes more than people. I guarantee you, if you ask somebody, would you sacrifice your pet for this person over here? Been nice seeing you. The pet's not going anywhere. Oh, we love our cars and our motorcycles, and we love to travel and see things. And again, sometimes we use the word love more on things than we do for people. And we celebrate it. Industries have got on board. We get cards and flowers and candy and chocolates and dinners and jewelry and things and other gifts in an attempt to show love to others that we care about. Most of those only last 1 to 3 days, so love needs to live a little bit more permanent than that. Don't just go for 1 to 3 days. Sometimes we put conditions on love when it should be unconditional, you know, even when they're hard to love, you know. I go back to food, Oreos, you know, what's not to love about a double stuffed Oreo cookie? I mean, they're great. Coffee, milk, doesn't matter, they're great. Now, the triple stuff they had at one time, a little much. So don't love them as much, but the double stuff's good. Regular Oreos are okay. If you hadn't had double stuff, they would be really good. You remember they came out, I don't know if they still have them, surely not, the thin ones? That's a waste of time. That is unlovable cookie, especially if you've had any of the others. How can you love a thin Oreo when you got double stuff available? So. Say what?
They're safe for some of us.
They're safe. Well, I'd love them if that was the only one that was available, but we have options to love. Love other things. So we put conditions on love. You know, kids have some definitions of love, too. I wanted to read a few of them to you. Kids in the 4 to 8 year old group were asked, what is love? And they came up with some answers. And I think some of them will ring a bell maybe with grandparents or great-grandparents or as you've lived your life with, you know, older people and younger people. And some of them will ring some bells, I think. Rebecca said, well, when my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. She said, that's love. Carl says, love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. He's five. Chrissy, age 6, says, love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries and you don't even make them give you any of theirs. this is a good one, I thought, and it's a wise person. And if you've got kids and grandkids, I think you've felt this way before. Terry, age 4, says, love is what makes you smile when you're tired. A lot of wisdom in that. Noel says, love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt, and then he wears it every day. Claire says, my mommy loves me more than anybody. You don't see anyone else kissing me to sleep at night. Marianne says, love is when your puppy licks your face even after you've left him alone all day. Lauren says, I let my big sister pick on me because mom says she only picks on me because she loves me. So I pick on my baby sister because I love her. And these last two, I think, are really wisdom of a couple of 8-year-olds. Jessica says, you really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot because people forget. And Jenny also says, there are two kinds of love, our love and God's love, but God makes both kinds. The wisdom of 4 to 8-year-olds. Take a cue from them sometimes. But we're going to look at God's definition of love today. And it's in a passage you've all heard. If you've been to weddings and things like that, it's 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 13. That's all there is. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, we've got Levi in charge of IT today, so he's filling in for Lisa, so we appreciate that. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13 says, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now, folks have been arguing, you know, the gifts. God has given gifts to people to use, you know, and they're talking about, you know, there is prophecy and speaking in tongues and the other gifts, and they're arguing over who has what and which is better. You know, I've got this one. I'm in good shape. You know, I'm doing really good. And so there have been arguing over those and which ones were the better ones to have. And, you know, God shows us we can have a great many things. And we can do a great many things, but he's saying if we don't have love, we have nothing. They don't mean anything. He says, without love, I can lose everything. And without love, I can gain nothing. That's how important love is. Love makes a difference in everything we do. It has to do with our choices and our motivation. You know, we give gifts to people all the time. You know, and, you know, not only Valentine gifts, Christmas gifts, birthday gifts, you know, all kinds of gifts for all kinds of reasons. If you looked at the calendar on the days they make certain days, you could probably give a gift about every day. But we give gifts all the time. And, you know, is it given in love or is it just the right thing to do? You know, why do we do it? You know, if it's given in love, I believe there's a desire for the other person to be extremely happy with what you give them. And you want to see the joy they have when they receive the gift. And doing that, then it fills your own heart with that joy as well. You share that joy, you share that love. You know, gifts without love kind of leave an emptiness, you know, or a, if you want to call it best or worst, it's just a short-term self-gratification you can have. It doesn't really hit with the same effect. Joy and love is lost in that gifting. It's just something you did. I want to go over what Jesus said love is. And we're told what love is. He breaks it down into three categories. What love is. It says love is patient. Love is kind. Patience a hard one for a lot of us. I've said before, and I still struggle in the vehicle. I struggle with patience. I do not show love like I should to the driver in front of me or beside me or maybe behind me. I struggle with that, so it's not easy. I understand. But love is patient. Love is patient with others. Love is kind. You know, I think probably everybody's in here is pretty kind. It's kind of painful. We got to send out signs to just be kind. That should be a given. We shouldn't need reminded to be kind. But I see signs all over the time. Just be kind. And we say what love is not. What love is not. Not envious. You know. Not envious. Do you always wish you had something somebody else has? You know, well, they got a new car. I'd like a better car. Or they got a bigger house. I'd like a bigger house, you know. Or they've got this. They've got a nice job. I wished I had one like that. Or, you know, it's always wanting something somebody else has. God says love is not like that. You're happy that they have those things. You have joy because they have those things. You know, they've increased themselves. Just because I don't have it doesn't mean I'm not happy for them. I'm not glad for them. I don't have joy for them. Love isn't envious. Love isn't boastful. Love isn't proud. Love doesn't dishonor others. You say, well, how do I dishonor others? Well, I think gossip is dishonoring others. It's putting people down. When we talk about others, saying things, we're passing along things that even may or may not be true. It doesn't matter. We're passing along things that dishonor others. Maybe that's part of the proud one before that, that makes ourselves feel better about ourselves. We feel prouder if we can put ourselves above others. Love doesn't do that. Love puts us under others. Love puts us in a service mode to treat others right, to be kind. Love isn't self-seeking. It's other-centered. It doesn't seek all about, it's not all about us. It's not all about me. It's about others. Easily angered. Love isn't easily angered. I guess that goes back to the patience part. But it doesn't get easily angered. It has patience. It has perseverance. Love allows you to wait. Love allows you to see the good. Keeps no record of wrongs. How many hold a grudge? No. A lot of people, a lot of times, you know, there's argument. There's no speaking. There's no talking with one another. don't want to see one another. That's not love. Love holds, keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. So hopefully we're all good with that one. But we have some stuff to work on with the others. What love does. Love does rejoice with the truth. And then what love always does. It always protects. Love always protects. You've heard mama bears. Mamas are bears sometimes. Mamas are protectful. Love always trusts. Trust in one another. It's a part of having joy in one another if you can trust one another. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. And never gives up. Keeps going, never gives up. Love never fails. Never. That's God's word. Love never fails. If you have it. If you share it. Most of these match up with fruit of the Spirit. Because love's part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's one of the permanent fruits. Again, love will exist even after Christ's return. Now, we won't need faith. We won't need a lot of things because it will have been fulfilled. But love will always be there. Love will continue forever. Go to 1 John 4, verses 7 through 12. And again, he's talking 1 John 4, 7 through 12. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." God showed his love for us through Jesus, through the sacrifice that Jesus made so that we could live. That's how much he loved us. He gave up everything for us. God's love's agape love. I'm not going through all the other eros and phileo and all those. But God's love's an agape love. It's a love regardless of condition. It's a free love. It's a love with no expectation. A love of not getting something in return. You know, it doesn't depend on getting something in return. It's just a love given. Because he chose to give it. Because that's who he is. It's a love he's called us to have. It's a love not found elsewhere. It's a supernatural love. We get into supernatural. It doesn't mean ghosts and all that. It just means it's more than natural. It's a God love. It's a supernatural love. That it only comes through the Holy Spirit when you have a relationship with Christ. You're not going to have it any other way. God's love is to love someone who doesn't deserve it. We all fall into that category. God's love is a love that forgives things done in the past to you without demanding some sort of a reparation to be made. Again, it's not dependent on you. It's dependent on me just to love you. It's a supernatural love to love unlovable people. Have those people in your life you've come across, they're an unloved. You just can't love those people. They're just mean and ornery. But that's not who God is. You know, love's a feeling for sure. It's a feeling that we have, but it's also a choice that we make to love despite what the world or even our mind is telling us. We have to overcome that with the Spirit. Because love doesn't come naturally. It may come more naturally to a child. It may come for a spouse, but it doesn't come naturally to everyone. It's something the Spirit has to do it. You know, it's like, just like adoption. You know, we're adopted as children to God's family. You know, He loves us. We're adopted. We're part of His family. You know, some of you, we've got adopted kids or grandkids. It doesn't take much to love them. It's a choice. You know, and that's a special kind of love. We take others that maybe not be flesh and blood in a physical sense, in a family sense, but as an example that you've chose to love them anyways. You've chose to love them. That's what we do. And God's love is also shown in the church. You know, the church is His bride. It's shown in the marriage covenant. And God's love is a drawing love. It draws people in. It draws others to it. And a church, in turn, is a place to not only feel love, but to know love. We can feel love for one another, but we can know love for one another. We can know the love of Christ here as well. And you can tell in a church if there's love or not. It shows itself in the people. It shows itself in the attitudes and the joy they display. And I think Benwood's in a good place. Hasn't always been, being honest, hasn't always been in a good place. Are we 100%? No, we're not there yet. May we get to 100%? I don't know. That's up to all of us and the Spirit. But we're in a good place. And I think people feel that when they come, that you care about them. Even visitors, you know, I see people going around welcoming them, and that means a lot. Back to verse 11, it says, but if we love one another, you know, there's an if. You know, there's all those if and and statements and computer work. If we love one another, God lives in us. God lives in us. And if we love one another, and God lives in us, then His love is made complete in us. It completes the equation. It fills it out. And we need that love of each other to have His love made complete in us. Because when love's made complete, what's on the inside comes out. It's not stuck in there. There's something in there that changes. And that completes us. We love others and we love God, His two commandments. It completes us as a whole. And that's what comes out. That's what people can see. That's what our light shines to others. Going to have an invitation in a minute. I want to finish with Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, you're loved. You are loved. You know, though we ignore God, He loves us. Though we disobey God, He loves us. He loves those who are faithful. But He even loves those who are not. He loves those who show goodness and also those who don't. He loves those who succeed. He also loves those who fail. There may be a time we don't even love Him, but He still loves us. You know, some say love at first sight was easy to understand. Said it's when two people have been looking at each other for many, many years that it becomes a miracle. You know, God's known us our whole life. He still loves us. That's a miracle because that's God. That's what God's love can do. Despite everything we've done, everything or everything we did not do, whether it be known or whether it be unknown, He loves us. When you think you're alone and no one cares, God loves you. He still does. So nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Now, if you return it to God, see what happens. Now, give your love to God. Prepare yourself for things to change, mostly inside. Let His love be made complete in you. You know, love others, love God. Let it be completed in you. If you don't have both, you're missing out. His love is special love. You have to ask for it. Again, you have to ask, seek, and knock. You got to ask for it. It doesn't come naturally. But if you ask for it, and then you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with the love of Christ, then the rest of it will come out. Love only fails when we fail to love. That's on us. If you're failing, find out why. And I ask you to just go back in verses 4 through 7 of our original and just put your name in those verses. Just put your name in there. You know, it says love is patient. You know, say Tom is patient. See if that's true. If I honestly look at myself, is that true? Say, love is kind. You say, Ralph is kind. You know, put your name in there. You know, Carolyn doesn't envy, or Joni doesn't boast, or Joanne's not proud, or Marilyn doesn't dishonor others, or Brady's not self-seeking. You know, go on and on. Put your name in there. See if it fits. See if it's true. It's not true, then you know what you got to work on. Put your name in there and see if it fits. Go through each one, because that's what love is. That's what love isn't. That's what love does. So you won't have true love. People talk about true love. You won't have true love until you know how to love, how to live, and how to look like Jesus. That's what will find you true love. Then you'll show the world what true love is. Let's pray.